Im Kino zu Hause, der DocFest München Podcast. Filmgespräche des Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestivals München.
Herzlich willkommen zum 38. DocFest München, hier im Silbersaal des Deutschen Theaters. Mein Name ist Isabelle Fontoux und ich bin Mitglied im KuratorInnen-Team des DocFests. Und ich bin sehr stolz, heute das Filmgespräch zu führen mit Delphine und Muriel Coulin, die den Film Charlotte Salomon, Life and the Maiden gedreht haben. Hello and welcome to the 38th DocFest Munich. My name is Isabelle Fontoux and I'm a member of the program selection team. And I'm very proud to have the film talk today with the two directors of the film Charlotte Salomon, Life and the Maiden, Muriel Coulin and Delphine Coulin. Hello and welcome, both of you.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for having our film and us with you, with a distance, but still we are here.
Yeah, great. We are very sorry not to be in Munich tonight, but we couldn't be here because of our new project. So please forgive us and let's talk together.
So we're very happy that you made this possible, because I guess there's lots of work and you're just before the next shooting. So thank you very much for taking the time tonight. My first question would be, how was your first encounter with Charlotte Salomon?
Well, I talk, Delphine, I'm talking.
Yes.
And well, a friend of mine gave me the book. There was a novel in France that was called Charlotte, and the book was quite famous here. And he said to me that that would be a good play for theater, and because I'm also directing for theater. And so I started to look at the work. And I thought this was so fantastic that I talked to Delphine and I said to her, we should go more into the work and try to do a documentary, because this is such a beautiful work and moving. And and at first we wanted to be really deeply into the work, what she was telling, how she painted. And so Delphine came along with me and we started. It was a long work. We tried to be as close as possible as the intention she had. And so that was almost 3 years of work.
Really? So yeah. First you read the novel and then you saw the pictures?
Yeah, yes. And for me, I saw the exhibition in Paris in 2003, I think, and I was deeply moved by the exhibition. And I always thought that it was a pity that you can see the paintings, sometimes you read the text, but you never make the global experience of it as she wrote it, in fact, because it's really a multimedia work of art. It's, as we show in the film, it's really paintings, text, and musical references. And we thought it would be great for the viewers to have the whole experience with the three dimensions of it. And in our film, in fact, all the texts, all the paintings, and all the musics are from Charlotte's work, in fact.
Oh, really? And why did you take, I think it's very interesting that you did not decide to make the classical film about we go to the places where she lived, we talk maybe to experts or to people who maybe knew her. Why did you take the decision to make this film really about Charlotte and her work?
Well, I think, for an artist, it's really important to show the work as much as possible. Biography is one thing, but she wanted her work to be shown. You know, she put so much of her art and heart in the work that it was like a duty for us to show it as beautiful as it is, as close as we could be. Let hear her words. So for us, it was the artist and the woman, of course, but to be as close as the work as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also as you show the work, and only the work, even if we put also archives and extracts from fiction films, when you have the continuity of the work, you can see that she evolves even in her style, because at the beginning, it's like miniatures, almost in the primitive Italian style or icons. And then the more she works, the more she probably gets into a sort of madness as well. She goes into a more contemporary style, a more modern style. Mm-hmm. And at the end, it's almost Basquiat style, you know, she throws the painting on the paper. She puts the letters on it. And so her style is really evolving in these 18 months she paints, and in more than 1,000 paintings she makes. Mm-hmm. There's really an evolution that you cannot really feel if you stop the narrative to tell her story.
Yes, I understand. And it becomes more and more experimental and fearless, yeah, in a way also. Mm. Yes. And what about the archive material you used? How did you find it, and why did you choose this archive material? You often use the symbol of a merry-go-round, or for example, or the roller coaster, or it's not an archive material I would expect at the first moment, but of course it speaks to the film, so I would be interested in why you chose it and how you chose it as well.
Well, you know, we wanted to make the contrary of a normal, I would say, normal documentary. Like you said, normally you would see talking heads and archives, and we wanted to know first the characters, and so that every viewer can have his own idea of Paulinka, of Daberlon. And then when you can see the real Paola coming on the screen, it's like a shock. It's like, oh, okay, this was close to life, but this was art. And now we show you a little bit of life. And then you can make your own story. So that was really like the reverse side of a mirror. But still, she is here. She is in the work. She is also what people can say about her. But this was not the main point, to be close to reality.
Because, yes,
you know, what is reality? What people say, what is in the work, nobody knows. We have to make our own view.
Okay. Yeah, and also for the archive material, we really... It is used in the first place as a classical archive, because it's all, I mean, when we see Berlin in 1923, it's really Berlin in 1923. We chose archive precisely so as to see the world in which she was living. But at the same time, we wanted the archive not to be only seen for the information characteristic of it. We wanted also that it could give us sensations, or, you know, for example, the merry-go-round, when she has the vertigo of becoming in love for the first time. It is a merry-go-round in Berlin in the 20s,
okay,
but at the same time, of course, it's also the sensation of being in love for the first time when you are 20 years old.
Okay.
You know? And we were interested to see the archive also like this. And it's the same for the extracts of cinema movies, because Charlotte Salomon loved to go to the movies, as she says in her work. And so we carefully selected the extracts of the films she could have watched. There's a student in the Netherlands that made a whole essay on the frames of Charlotte, showing that she saw this film or this other film because she had a wonderful memory, you know, visual memory. So we can recognize which films she saw. Mm-hmm. And so we watched these films and we tried to find the extracts that could have a resonance with her work. So it was a big work, of course, but at the same time, it was really stimulating to do this because it was as if trying to get into her head.
Yes.
If
we could. Mm-hmm. And this is what makes the film really rich, because you managed to do exactly this, I think. Are there questions from the audience? Yeah, please. Just we'll have a microphone, I think. Just a minute. Okay.
Alors bonsoir et félicitations pour votre film. J'ai une question. Pourquoi vous avez choisi de le faire en anglais?
So the question was, I just translate for the people who don't speak French, why was this film shown in or made in English and not in French?
In fact, there are three versions. Du coup, je parle en français. Il y a trois versions du film.
Excusez-vous, vous pouvez parler en anglais, continuer en anglais pour que tout le monde comprenne.
Merci.
So there are three versions of the film, in fact. There is one, because the film is co-produced by Arte Television. So it will be shown in French in France, in German in Germany, and there's an English version that goes in the festivals. And well, probably because there are such well-known actors such as Charlotte Rampling or Vicky Krieps, the distributor chose to propose you the English version because of the actors.
And maybe because of the subtitling, because this version was nearly without subtitling, or without subtitling, so you could really look at the pictures and enjoy the drawings. And this is really different. I saw the French version when I screened it to make the preparation, and it's different to see it with the subtitling.
Well, the French version was with Anna Chigoula playing the grandmother, mm-hmm. which was like a real pleasure for us to work with such a great actress.
Yes.
And I guess for a German audience, it's even more moving because you can understand the words that she's painting, you know, and you have many resonance when you see when our actors are saying the words. You can actually see the words, how she painted them, and she has a lot of humor. And I guess for a German audience, sometimes you can see that, mm-hmm. the language, or the sometimes she would put a little heart on an eye, or mm-hmm. you know, she's very. It's, I think for a German audience, it's much more rich than for French or
yeah, even for the names she gives yeah. to the characters. Dabberlohn, for you, it immediately has a significance. So of course it's richer for
yes.
German.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she would have been. I suppose she would have been so moved to know that her works are now shown in Munich in a museum. I mean, it's so important.
Mm. And I think, Muriel, you understand German quite well, so you could read the original texts on the
yes.
drawings.
Yes, mm-hmm. I have a basic German, but, you know, I couldn't understand many, many things. And when the vocabulary was too rich for me, then I had to look, of course, at the dictionary. But yes, I was very moved by the fact that I could read most of the text.
Are there other questions? Yes, please.
And it was also important for us that our main actress in the film, Vicky Krieps, who is such a great actress and gives so much richness to this character, can speak the German too, because, yes, you know, when she sings and when she tells words in a soft voice, and when she goes from German to English and then to German again, it's so poetic and wonderful to hear.
Yes, because she's fluent in German and in French, so this is really astonishing. And English, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she does the English part as well. The version we saw was her as well, as for Charlotte.
Yeah, that was a great chance, not only for the languages, but she's a wonderful woman and artist.
Mm-hmm. So, the question, please.
Vielen Dank, ich spreche in Deutsch. Mm-hmm. Vielen Dank für den sehr schönen und inspirierenden und berührenden Film. Ich habe eigentlich keine Frage, sondern eine Anmerkung. Sie haben ja diese Bilder zum Teil animiert. Wie haben Sie das gemacht? Haben Sie die überlagert? Oder es würde mich einfach interessieren, wie Sie das technisch gemacht haben.
So thank you very much for this beautiful, really beautiful and very touching film. And the question is, because you did some animation on the drawings, on the paintings, and how did you do this?
In fact, we wanted to show how she worked. For example, in what order she puts the colors on the painting. And it was a challenge, because we didn't want to do, you know, an animation film very sophisticated that would have gone against her work. We wanted it to be subtle, but at the same time we really wanted to show how she puts, for example, the shapes and then the colors inside. Mm-hmm. And so we worked with an animator, a guy that does only this, and it was really, yeah, very interesting, because, for example, after 2 years of work on her work, we realized that at the end, you know, in the last painting we show, we saw that there was the shape of Dabberlone in the sky, and in fact, it was very difficult to show it to the audience in a subtle way. But with the animation, we could tell the text when she says, suddenly you realize you see your lover in the sky, and then put with the animation the shape of Amadeus in the sky. So it was a subtle way to make the viewer discover it, mm-hmm, as we discovered it. Mm-hmm. But in a humble way, you know. And what's unbelievable is that we showed it to a woman that works on Charlotte, in the museum in Amsterdam, and she said, "Oh, I never saw it." And she said, after 20 years working on Charlotte Salomon's, I still discover things, because there are so many layers and so many colors and so many things that you can watch and watch and discover and discover. So she was so talented at 25 years old, you know.
And this is a great thing that animation can do, that it can lead you the way you look at things and guide you maybe through a picture.
Yes. It makes it live, because the characters are talking, the painting is moving, so there was something that is very lively, like people are sure that some of the paintings, some of the characters on the paintings are moving, but no, it's only the painting which is moving. We never make characters walk or be different than the picture, you know. Okay. We wouldn't do that. Everything is very, very not only close, but it is the painting. We don't add things.
You stick to the painting, and you don't add anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We try to be as respectful as possible to her work.
Yes.
Yeah, and we have to be very thankful to the Museum of Amsterdam, because the confidence that they gave us, you know, we were very, very close to the painting, and sometimes we were as close as 1 centimeter.
With your camera?
Mm-hmm. With our camera.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We must say that we shot a lot with the iPhone, which is not a very common, but the iPhone was a way to get to the painting as close as possible, as with a big camera, you would take too much risk of endamaging or, you know...
And damaging the paintings.
Damaging the paintings. So with the iPhone, we were very close. And sometimes what you saw on the big screen is as tiny as 1 centimeter, 1 square centimeter.
Really?
So you can never do that at the museum because you cannot put your nose on the painting.
Yes. So no, you were lucky that they trusted you.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a great chance for the viewer to be able to see as close as possible. And cinema only can permit you to do that.
Yes, and to see it on a big screen, this changes everything. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact,
to be exact, we had three cameras, one cinema, one photo camera, and one iPhone. And we matched the three sources, in fact, because sometimes it was better to do numerical zooms, and sometimes it was, as Muriel said, good to be with the iPhone. And so on each painting, we adapted our work on the painting itself.
Okay, thank you. I just have one last question. You just told me you were in New York, and this was the first time you met someone who really had something to do with your film. So maybe this is something that I think the audience should know. So yeah. Maybe you would like to tell it again.
Yeah, there was a very shy woman that, wanted to ask a question. So she took the mic and she said, I'm very, very moved because as I was a child, I grew up with two paintings of Charlotte Salomon just up my bed. So we said, how comes? And she said, it because my mother was a little kid in the house. She was hidden, she was a young Jewish child, and she was hidden in the same house as Charlotte. And she flew away to the States. And Charlotte gave her two little drawings, and she always kept the drawing. So this old woman that was in New York, now she is, of course, quite old, but she had those two paintings of Charlotte when she was, her mother gave that to her.
And it was in the south of France. And it was during the time she drew everything we now see in the film.
Yes. The same period, yes, exactly, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it was very moving, you know, we couldn't expect such a moment.
Yes, but just what a luck to that she knew about the film and that she could come. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. And you just told us at the beginning that you're working, you're just about to shoot your new film. I guess you will do it together, or will you do it together? And what is it about? Are you able to tell us shortly about what it will be?
It's a fiction film. We also do cinema movies with fiction history stories. And it's the story of a father with his two sons. One son successing in everything, mm-hmm. and the other one less lucky, let's say.
Okay.
It's a bit political as well, but
okay,
I hope to see it in Germany.
I hope we will be able to see it when it's finished. So thank you very much for this beautiful film and for your work and for all of us for taking the time to spend half an hour with us this evening. Good luck.
It was a pleasure, and thank you very much for seeing our film. It was great to be here in Munich. So thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much. This was the film talk about Charlotte Salomon, Life and the Maiden. And if you can still vote for the audience award if you want, so this is possible until the end of the Dogfest, the 21st of May. So thank you very much.